Daydreaming about dragons. And I'm thinking today about genre expectations and how there's this line I want to tread about genre. And maybe, maybe genre is just bogus. There are schools of philosophy that say genre just doesn't exist and it's all hooey. And so I'm acknowledging that. Acknowledging it straight out of the gate. Genre might just be the wrong lens to be looking at gaming in. So that's a possibility. But it's such a fixture in the way I think about these things that it would be hard to separate right now. But let's consider the fact that in the future I might have to disentangle myself from the whole idea of genre as a framework. And that then let's move on. Let's move on so we can actually have a conversation and not just doubt ourselves the whole time. There are a couple of things I'm thinking about in my recent gaming. A game I'm playing with Sean Nittner on the actual play Twitch stream. And we're playing a science fiction game, and we started off with Traveler, and we knew that we wanted some Dune inspiration and some knife fights in space type stuff. And then it got into like weird psionic time traveling. And now I don't we're now we're off the map. And I think it's kind of in a delightful way. And I don't know why sometimes that works, and sometimes it's like, oh man, now it's a mess, right? I'm trying to figure out why that is, and what genre, especially when it's a genre as big as science fiction, right? Where you've got Dune, but even Dune is a mess, right? Because did you come into Dune through the most recent movie in 2021? Did you come into Dune through David Lynch? Did you come into Dune through the books? Did you come into Dune through just the first book and you didn't read any of the others? Did you read the whole series and the encyclopedia and you're just, and all the Brian and all the ones written by his son? So yeah, I know I've talked here and I've talked elsewhere about, when someone says, "Oh, I'd love to play a game based on Dune," having more of a deeper conversation about, "Okay, but what is it about Dune?" And I think Sean and I have a trust that is great. And so when we say, "Hey, I'd like to do Dune," and then we can kind of riff a little bit, and say, "Okay, what do I like about Dune? I like that there are swords in space. Space feudalism is kind of cool, and space drugs, and we're riffing off things, and there's kind of a medieval, almost, I don't want to say Arthurian, but there is this kind of weird medieval vibe to the game that we're sort of moving past. And I like that. I like that we're getting past it. We're moving beyond it. It's a good place to start, that kind of understanding of, hey, this is what we're going to be doing in this game. And then hopefully, through play, you get somewhere totally else. And gaming is good at that. Gaming's really good at that, because we've got a bunch of things adding to the randomness. Okay, and I don't mean just the dice, because of course the dice are random. Yes. But there's also the way we bounce off other people. And as anyone who plays diceless RPGs will tell you, that is a randomness all its own. Because when we put an idea out in front of our friends react to it in this visceral way, and then we're kind of off to the races. And to my mind, that's even more of the randomizer. That's more of what pushes us into new directions and past what we think the genre is supposed to be, into what the genre could be or never was or might have been. And And that's the interesting stuff. That's the good stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what exactly. I guess I'm trying to find the line between, man, that's a really good game, and we defied where I thought the game was going to go. And, oh, I thought we were going to be playing Dune, and there are no sandworms. So how could we even say that we're going to be playing Dune? You know, like what? And I guess it's just the conversation. I guess it's just talking with our friends and making sure that we're clear on what we're interested in. And that makes sense. That makes sense to me. Is it just as simple as that? Is it just as simple as let's talk about what we want out of this? Maybe. Maybe it's just that simple. And this is something that has come up a couple of times, usually while playing with Sean, because he and I are playing a one-on-one game. And so, and we've been gaming together for years now, and we've put in a lot of hours gaming one-on-one, which I think is super cool. And so we've got a shorthand that works, and we know, I think we want to critique a lot of things in the same way. And maybe, here's a thought, maybe when you defy genre expectations and you end up somewhere where someone's unhappy, maybe it's because the genre expectations that get defied or that get moved beyond are being critiqued in a way that the other person isn't interested in. Maybe. I could be wrong. I'm coming to this as I go, as I pace here back and forth in the new basement. And I'm not sure that I'm right. And I'm not sure that makes any sense. But that's what I'm thinking, is that Sean and I are doing well with our genre expectation stuff because we are frustrated by similar things within the genres, right? Because I felt like a very similar thing was happening to us that in our fantasy gaming, that is now happening in our science fiction gaming, in that we were doing things that when I looked at it, I was like, you know, I don't see this in fantasy novels, and I wish I did. And maybe it's that wish. We both wish we saw more of that kind of thing. You know, we both wish we saw a teacher wizard who is actually good at teaching. And so an NPC is born. And we love interacting with that NPC because that's something we want to see. So maybe that's it. Maybe, you know, the way we move beyond genres in gaming is our way of critiquing the, you know, what we see in that fiction and what we see in the world around us. And if you're unhappy about different things, you're going to find that you might not both be happy where you move beyond to, where you end up. Food for thought. Tell me about your genres. Tell me about the genres you play. Tell me about how you set genre expectations. It's something I see a lot when I'm looking at subreddits like the DMs Academy, and I've seen it a lot in my personal life. You know, my first game of Dictionary of Mu, you know, a sword and sorcery science fantasy tale, and a friend of mine said, I want to play a samurai. And I didn't say, this isn't the right place for that. I was just like, yeah, we can make a samurai. Sure. Easy. And I think that might have been one of the first games I ever ran. And there's nothing wrong with that. And there are games where anything goes, right? I'm running a D&D game set in Sigil that takes a place across all the worlds. And the stranger the characters all are, kind of the better in some ways. And it is nice that we have kind of low-key touchstones, that there is a halfling thief and a human fighter in that mix of, you know, an elf who worships a moon goddess. And, you know, she's far from the strangest character. You know, we've got a frog person, a frogkin, who was once an archwizard, an archmage, and now is kind of, you know, gaining his humanity as he edges his way back up towards power. And we've got, you know, from a cool game, Five Torches Deep, we've got a corpse flea, which is like this little, this little vaguely almost microscopic creature that can jump into a dead person's corpse and take it over. And that's the character. And that works because the genre expectation is that we'll have lots of different people all coming together and celebrating their differences and fighting with each other, fighting side by side, you know, and, you know, found family and all that, and being a team. But there are moments where I've seen, you know, you set the genre expectation and someone says, well, I know we're in a samurai movie, but I want to be a cowboy. And, you know, sometimes that works. Sometimes that's the first step towards, maybe that's the first step. I don't know. Sometimes it's the first step. Sometimes when I say the first step, I mean, sometimes it's the first step in defying genre expectations and is totally cool. Especially because samurai fiction and Western gunslinger fiction have a lot in common. So that can work. It can totally work. I think the problem is when someone isn't listening to the genre expectations at all, and it's just like, listen, this is the character I want to play. This is the only character I want to play, and we should change the game. In which case, you should change the game. Anyway, let's get to Inspiration Goat. I feel like what Inspiration Goat's going to bring to the table today is going to offer a little bit more about the conversations around our game. So let's get to it. Inspiration Goat, I see what you're chewing on there. What do you got? Apocalypse World. Inspiration Goat, everyone has talked about this game. Everyone. All right. Let's talk about it. And clearly, I want to talk about Apocalypse World and not Powered by the Apocalypse games. Right? They're great. Powered by the Apocalypse games, amazing ones, all over the place. And I'm excited to see them. I'm excited to see more. But I specifically want to talk about Apocalypse World. The first edition was, I think, an amazing game. The second edition, or as it's called, Apocalypse World, the Master of Ceremonies Playbook, is even better. And even better than that are the burned over zines that Meg and Vincent are putting out. I'll have a link to the burned over stuff, and I'll have a link to the Baker's Patreon, which is well worth grabbing. So why do I like it? Let me talk about things that I think they do really well. Specifically, I want to talk about playbooks today. Playbooks are the basically, I feel like when you first look at them, you're like, oh, well, it's just the character classes. These are just the types of characters I want to play. And I want to talk about what the Bakers do that's different than other games and why playbooks, I think, are so much more interesting than just, oh, it's just character classes. This is just what I can play. All right? Here's why. Playbooks don't just give you a cool, fast way to make a character. But they do that. Playbooks don't just, let you change the world and give the person running the game, the MC, tons of inspirational stuff to make adventures with, but they do that too. What playbooks do, I think, really well in Apocalypse World, and what other games try to do and sometimes don't, is set up a conversation about that character. And that's cool because that's hackable to any game, right? I took in the original game, there was called a Heart Holder, right? It's someone who is like in charge of, an area, in charge of a bunker where people have weathered out the apocalypse, in charge of a mall where people have gone after the apocalypse in order to find peace and solace. And the Heart Holder in the Burned Over books became something called the Lawgiver. And there's a really cool checklist in the Lawgiver for making your hard hold, making your area. And it's so easy to change it. With that checklist, I've messed around with it a bit, and I'll put a link in the show notes. And I made a quick checklist for making your own space station. Boom, easy peasy. And Sean and I have been played off that for weeks. And I'll have a link to that playlist too, for our Moons of Leviathan game. And it was super simple. I was talking to a friend on an RPG Slack that I frequent, and they mentioned something about wanting to make magic items for D&D, and they were kind of vexed that 5e didn't have rules for creating magic items. So I just looked at the old Savvy Head, which is, someone who fixes things, and I cooked up a way to use that into make a conversation about making magic items. And it becomes super easy once you think of everything, every unit of gaming, as just another conversation that you're going to have with your friends about this thing. And again, I'll have a link in the show notes with the blog post for making magic items. It's just super simple. Super simple. Once you start thinking about this stuff as setting up conversations, it becomes really interesting and really hackable. Not just to make your own game, but to make your own conversation within whatever game you're playing. It becomes easy to just look at it and say, oh, we're just giving structure to a conversation, which is kind of the whole point, right? That's what Apocalypse World does. It gives structures to our conversation. It helps us inspire our friends to say cool things and us to say cool things to our friends. And there are tons of Powered by the Apocalypse games, and some of them get it and some of them don't. And you can really see it. Some folks are really getting that this is a conversation structure, and some folks are seeing 2d6 plus something. And I think there's a lot more to it than that. And I think the key to that is in the playbooks. And I feel like I'm on the right. I had this idea for this. Inspiration Goat was kind of bleeding about this. And I was like, yeah, I think I'm onto something. And then I looked carefully at Apocalypse World, second edition, and it's literally called Apocalypse World, the Master of Ceremonies Playbook. And that makes me think that, oh, I'm onto it. I got it. And that's fun. And this is also inspired by the one of the earliest things I saw about Apocalypse World when someone started hacking on it was John Harper hacking the original, there was a move where you got a gang and you got to make your gang. And he basically hacked that. So instead of making a gang, it was, this is what you do when you summon a demon. Because that's kind of what a gang is, right? As soon as you start seeing a gang, not as a group of, cannibalistic folks on motorcycles, which in the games they are. But as soon as you see it as, hey, this is a powerful, violent force that the players are going to struggle to control, it's like, oh, that can be a demon too. I see. And this way of making a gang is just a way of formatting that conversation for making something dangerous. So now I can add in genre-specific stuff, and I can make that conversation in this other way, for this other genre. So instead of a dangerous gang, it can be, a dangerous summoned creature, a dangerous elemental, a dangerous spirit, a dangerous devil. And then it becomes super easy. Super easy, just hack it at will. To look at the hard hold and say, okay, this is, I want a game about a wizard's tower or a knight's castle. Maybe a wizard's tower is more of a savvy head thing. Let's look at both. Maybe it's somewhere in between. Maybe I need to mix these conversations together, because in a wizard's tower, you are both in charge of certain things, if you're going to go the kind of Ars Magica route, and you are also making things. So it could be a little bit of both. Suddenly we're blending a couple of playbooks together. And rather than playbooks, let's just call them conversations. We're blending these conversations together to make something with our friends. And that's essentially what we're doing. Whenever we do any of this stuff, is just having a conversation with our friends about something. And it's just such a brilliant, fun way to break things down. And it makes it so much easier to think about, I know how I want, what I want to be on the table in that conversation, right? When I hacked the Savvy Head rules for making things, and I did it for making magic items, one of the things I said was, hey, let's keep in mind how this might change the world. Because that's fun, but we don't want to change the world into something that's not fun. And one of the, and the other brilliant thing in the Apocalypse World books are the examples of play. They're just so well written, and they feel so real. And I've never seen examples of play like these, where someone messes up and then circles back and does it right. Where someone says, hey, no, we're messing up that rule. And that happens all the time in the Apocalypse World examples of play. And so I have examples of play for my magic item creation rules. And one of them, someone wants a pistol that shoots lightning. And I was like, okay, but let's make sure this doesn't change the world into a fantasy Western, unless we decide we want a fantasy Western. And then let's do it. If that's what we say we want, then let's go for it. But if not, then let's be careful. And yeah, I love how easy it is to make those conversations happen through the Apocalypse World format. And I also love how it makes setting happen in a way that is familiar to me. This is the way that me and my friends have been making settings together since I was 13 years old. But the bakers have broken that down into kind of its component parts and made it very easy to add my own stuff in, to mix my own things in the cauldron. And this is not new. Like none of this, like, you know, adding new genres to Apocalypse World is just not a new thing. I'm not saying, oh, I invented this. I'm saying this is a neat way to think about it so that it's just easier to hack. And when you look at it, you kind of, oh, I see what I'm saying. I see what I'm seeing. Because, you know, a lot of games, a lot of great games, I feel like don't take that conversation into effect, into account. And so the effect is folks having to use their years of experience to make the conversation go well when, you know, I would like more help from the game. So anyway, that's what I'm thinking about. Thank you, Inspiration Goat. I think we're going to have a lot more to say about Apocalypse World in the years to come. I am in shock at how good the playbooks were in the first book, at how they got better in the second edition, and how they just keep getting better in the Burned Over zines. And a new Burned Over zine called Version 2021 just dropped. And it's astonishing. They're just getting better. And I'm in shock. And things that I didn't like in the last, you know, hack are getting better in the newer one. And to see people, to see my friends who I think are some of the best game designers ever, and to see them refining and getting better and better at their craft is inspiring. So it's cool to see. So check out Apocalypse World. Go right to the source. I know there's a lot of PBTA stuff out there. I know some of it you might like, some of it you might not. And that's fine. But check out the original. See what you think. It's pretty cool. Let me know. Let me know how what you think of Apocalypse World and how it's going to affect your gaming or not. And how you like to structure that conversation. I would love to hear that. Love to hear more about it. All right. Let's get to the outro. Thank you for listening to Daydreaming About Dragons. There are a number of ways to support the show, and I'm going to list two today. So one is you can go drop a review over at iTunes or at whatever podcast app you use. If it takes reviews, please drop me a review. If you 5 stars really helps the algorithm and let people know what they're getting into when they hit play. And the other way to always support the show is to reply. Drop me an email at judd.karlman@gmail.com. I'll repeat that in just a second. That's judd, now that you have your pen, .karlman@gmail.com. And let me know what's going on at your game. Well, let me know if anything resonated with you. Let me know if you thought something was just wrong-headed or just wasn't in your play experience. Let me know what your play experience is. I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to hear about what's going on at your table and how something I said or maybe didn't say resonated with you. So drop me a line and let me know. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. And I'll talk to you soon. I hope here in the northeast of the U.S., leaves are just starting to change. It's just starting to get a little bit of a chill in the air. And it was a very hectic summer, definitely the most hectic summer of my life. I'm looking forward to kind of a more calm and chill autumn, making the house that we live in a home, and that'll be lovely. So I hope your autumn is as relaxing as mine, and I hope your gaming is going well, and I would love to hear about it. Inspiration Goat and I will hear from you soon. Talk to you soon. We'll bleed at you soon. You get the idea. Have a good one.